We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome in. Hour number two is we're live here at Smoke on the Water. Mark Sturgis, you can follow me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, at Tyler Butler, at My Sports Culture, and, of course, Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel on Radio. And, you know, we're talking some NBA. We're getting ready. Let's roll with this for a moment because, again, Tyler got called out by Delvin in hour number one about the bad information that you put out. But you know what? For the year so far, I'm betting you graded out at about 90% or higher. So on a 10-point grading scale at App State, you got an A, brother.
I appreciate it, man.
So, you know, Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clips that had been in play. I thought he would ultimately go, nope, not going to the Lakers. I'm going back to the Toronto on a 2-year deal or something like that. But the secret weapon, it turned out, was Paul George.
Crazy situation.
Yep, him leaving Oklahoma City to go team up is another super duo, and we'll get into that because I want to ask you what I asked Delvin. Michael Westbrook says, I don't want to be here no more. You know, Oklahoma City is a nice city. They have proven that they could get into the playoffs. They have proven with the right bench that they can get deep into the playoffs. But what is it? The bubonic plague there? Because everybody is bolted. And now Russell Westbrook says, I want out as well.
Yeah, I think the situation with Westbrook is he was offended because they offered him in that trade to Toronto. And that, of course, got back to him. And so he was like, okay, so you're trying to trade me? Well, trade me. Same thing with Kyrie did when he was in Cleveland. He got mad because they was going to trade him. And so he demanded a trade that following year. So I think that was a situation with Russ. But as far as all the other players, I think they left because they didn't want to play with Russ.
I don't know who I'm stealing this line from. I would love to give it. It was on – by the way, I loved your just bashing of whoever was on First Take, I guess, on Friday and Saturday. But I've heard Kyrie Irving compared to Russell Westbrook in the fact neither one of them necessarily make teammates better because they're worried so much about what they're doing.
Right, yeah.
Is that fair?
It's fair. Kyrie has proven not to be a leader. People love Russell Westbrook, the person. Is this the player? He stat pads a lot. You can just watch his game and see how he grabs offensive rebounds from his teammates and how, I mean, assist or assist, but he stat pads a lot. It's obvious. So a lot of players, and especially down the stretch, he doesn't have the smartest decision making. They don't like that. That's why Kevin Durant left. Why other would Paul
George? I mean,
Kevin
Durant left and went and joined, what, a 72-win team?
Yeah.
You know, most people don't do that. He didn't want to be there. So is any of this falling on Billy Donovan as head coach? Because what I think this ultimately does, Billy Donovan's going to go, I want out of here too. By that I mean I can't think – Billy Donovan would be, in my opinion, having given that NBA Waters a test now, would be so much more in demand at the collegiate level, not have to deal with I want out of here because y'all included me in a trade. Oh, yeah, look who all I've lost over the last couple of years. KD, Paul George, you keep on naming. I think he'd be better off, and secondly, the bidding war, if he went back to college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, me and Coach Phillips talked about this on your show Friday. The college realm is absolutely a better gig than the pros. You have all the power as the head coach, and especially if you're winning, your job security is a little bit more safer. Since the players run the league, they can really designate what coach they want to coach them. So you can be terminated at any time. Only the player has to do is snap his fingers and you out.
So does that not ultimately worry you as an NBA fan about the quality of basketball in the future if decisions are being made on who I want versus who needs to be there, who's the most talented, who's got the best resume? I mean, because I think we all saw the Tyronn Lue deal with the L.A. Lakers for what it was. That's who LeBron wanted to be the head coach.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he almost got him if it wasn't for upper management. But just the circle back to OKC, I don't think it's Donovan as it is as much as upper management.
In Westbrook?
Yeah, they're losing out on everybody. Mm-hmm. They lost out on James Harden because they didn't want to pay him an extra $4 million. Now look at James Harden. They lost out on Serge Ibaka. Ibaka is the NBA champion right now for the Toronto Raptors. So you got to look at what Presti is doing over there in Oklahoma City. He drafts well. But he can't seem to keep his star player.
Well, first of all, it's a smaller market, and sometimes, I mean, it's a more upscale Greenville, yeah. South Carolina, and not a New York City. And let's be honest, some of these guys, they want to be in the big city. That's where they grew up and things of that nature. Now, you can pay me that amount of money and ship me off to, Fairbanks, Alaska to play for a G League team. I don't care. But, again, I just now see it. Let's go buddy-buddy. Let's go get a friend of ours. It's not going to be too difficult on us as a head coach and make this miserable. I just see a day where at some point quality of basketball suffers. People are, like, starting to be put off that there are markets out there in the NBA, kind of like Charlotte, Richmond. I think Oklahoma City's finding this out as well. You are a medium market team at best, and you have, once you begin the year on October 8th, whatever it is, you are now on a countdown clock till elimination.
Yeah, man, it's all about these players running the NBA. And they're starting to sign two-year contracts so they can keep the option open. It's no longer having a player on your team for 5-6 years. It's what you can do within this 2-3 year window before they decide to go somewhere else.
I heard a sports talk show last night talking about look into the future. And the future was 2 years.
That's
you just
it.
Hit the net, said long term, who's going to be better off? The guy said, what do you mean long term? He goes, long term in this league means 2 years now.
It's exactly 2 years
that's
right now.
Extremely
that's extremely
frustrating as a fan.
It is. It is, but. These players, man, they figured out now they can play with their buddies. They can play whatever city they want to, but they have the flexibility. So you sign a 2-year, 3-year contract, or you might sign a 4-year deal with a player option to opt out after the second or third year.
So, Diesel, back there, all right, this is great from the player's perspective. I want your opinion, maybe from a casual fan, but even more so, I want your opinion. Do you think as we maybe get into some real serious times with the NFL threatening a labor strike after this year, they are now telling their players, you best start saving money. The NFL players are never, ever going to get the leverage that the NBA players have right now. Do you think that is a fair statement, Diesel?
Sure. I don't know how the NFL structures their deals. So, I guess. I don't know.
I just don't see a situation that one or two players can make a difference. But if you don't have another good 18 to 20 out there, you ain't making the playoffs. So the idea of I can go form a super team with my buddies really ain't going to ever work when it comes to the NFL level.
Yeah, because what separates it, you're exactly right. One or two players in the NFL doesn't change the entire landscape.
It can help you.
It can help.
But you can't make the playoffs off two players.
But in the NBA, you get one or two players. You go from a lottery team to a playoff team in a heartbeat.
All right, final question before we go out to break, and then we'll get into some soccer. We'll circle back around to this. But, in going that route, I think it would be one of the biggest mistakes ever for the NFL to go into a work stoppage in this hot charge political climate where millionaires are they're the enemy. All right, they can be fighting for more control and everybody, but there's going to be a certain segment in this hot take top time of year going, I'm done with it. Here are multimillionaires. Now, not everybody, but that's going to be the storyline. I'm not sure guys that make that kind of money, they won't look at the average career in the NFL is probably, what, 2.8 years, something like that. They're going to hold the guys that have been in the league 13 years and made a quarter of $1 billion responsible for this. And I just don't see any good that comes out of it. The NBA was real lucky when it came to timing in this situation.
Yeah, and with the NFL, man, you're just getting over this kneeling situation. Don't stop the play right now. You're getting your momentum back. You're losing some viewerships because of that. But now, last year was a really good year. This year is coming in fresh. I haven't heard any controversy. And you go into a stoppage the following year, that's going to hurt your product.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. So, again, we'll take your opinions at 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, at My Sports Culture, at Diesel on Radio, and at ESPN Upstate. But also, Diesel, a couple hours ago, I got my weekly article up on ESPNUpstate.com. And I want to get into that next because – it's the U.S. women's soccer team. Look at the amount of places, including our client, Hall of Fame Sports Grill on Wade Hampton Boulevard, that opened at 10:30 yesterday morning. Name a place outside of Waffle House or Stacks or something like that that's breakfast-oriented that's open at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. You know what I mean? I think maybe even as early as 10 as they got open. Why? Because the World Cup Finals kicked off at 11 a.m. Number one, find a way to back this off a couple of hours if you're FIFA. Why? Because you can pretty much pencil in the United States into every semifinal and maybe even finals as well as they win their fourth World Cup ever. But I saw videos from Hall of Fame Sports Grill, people, you know, cheering red, white, and blue, USA, USA, USA. 7-0 these ladies went. They dominated France, if you will, like nobody's done since the USA dominated France and pushing back the Germans in World War II. You know what I mean? This maybe wasn't the most impressive performance by Americans on French soil. And I'll maintain that. You know what I mean? But it was dominating. 28 goals they scored. Who cares about the little teacup celebrate? I don't. You can call them ungrateful Americans by the British. I don't care. Pierce Morgan got upset about
it.
243 years. We've been spanking that British, you know. So my point being, I got into it. I got up yesterday. I watched it. I did a yeah when Rapinoe scored that first goal. Last night and today, I got a little bit disgusted about a couple of things. It wasn't about what all these girls did. It wasn't about four members of these team scored three or more goals in the playoffs, you know, during the World Cup. I mean, that's unheard of. It wasn't about that they led 70% of the time. They never trailed. The only time they were tied was pretty much to start a game until they got their first goal. I think one time they were tied 1-1 against England and right. Then took a 2-1 lead. That hadn't been what the talk has been about today, that special run. It's been about the blow-up that took place 2 weeks ago. Well, my article on ESPN Upstate, it had to do with that, and I've kept my mouth shut. But also, remember, opinions are like backsides. Everybody has one. And I had an opinion. You can go to ESPNUpstate.com, read my article. But we'll get into that when we come back at 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live from Smoke on the Water in the bar section. It's happy hour. Let's get happy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So did you get up yesterday on your day off, Tyler Butler, and did you watch some Women's World Cup soccer?
I was actually driving back from out of town.
All right, so you took advantage of the 4th of July long weekend and got out of town for the weekend. Good for you. All right, I'm going on vacation a week from tomorrow for the rest of the week next week. So
hey,
I was here. I was at home keeping my eye on my daughter. And, you know, I watched the semifinals. Watch the finals. Listen, the Americans were dominant. I enjoyed this. I love as much as anybody else putting pouting USA, USA, red, white, and blue. Go back and look at some of the videos from this weekend. Again, people opened up early here in Greenville, South Carolina, for a World Cup finals match yesterday in Lyon, France. And they didn't realize it wasn't the opener to the college football season. You know what I mean? So that's pretty big. But today, it's been all this talk about Megan Rapinoe, all right? Not what the U.S. accomplished. Maybe it's because I'm 51 years old, but I don't really recall the whole Rapinoe thing when she took it really to a level when it was a setup question, number one. I'm convinced of it. And it happens more in our business than you realize it.
Oh, yeah.
What's your reaction going to be if y'all win the World Cup and you're invited to the White House? Situation hadn't even been brought up yet. Was the team going to be asked to the White House or this or that or the other? And she decided to start cussing. If you remember, F no, I'm not going. I don't care if we're invited or not. And that created this controversy that lasted for a few days. That's all anybody's talking about today, Tyler. And to me, that is an absolute disrespect to world competition, to the U.S. women's team itself. You know what I mean? Because Megan Rapinoe, supremely talented. All right, maybe the best women's soccer player in the world, got her just rewards in being given the golden boot for the MVP. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike Megan Rapinoe. I want that to be known. I don't care. Let me also say this. I don't care what her sexuality is. I don't care what her politics are. I don't care about any of that. I just wanted you to represent everybody when it came to putting on that red, white, and blue. Am I out of line for that? Because now all this talk about are they going, will they not go to the White House is overshadowing, in my opinion, the accomplishments of what this team did as a collective group.
Yeah, I mean, you get that a lot within team atmospheres. They always preach, you know, don't become the distraction. And set up questions like that, usually always going to lead to some type of distraction, no matter the outcome, if you win or lose, especially if you lost. You know, they'd bring it up a lot more if that was the case. But I think that's what it was. It was a distraction, but it shouldn't be the number one topic for today, especially after winning the World Cup.
I agree. I was all set to come on. And then, like I said, it's all about will she, won't she, Rapinoe versus Trump, this or that, the other. I am of the belief, and please bring it to me if I am wrong, 844-GSP-ESPN. I am of the belief if you are playing for a team, Megan Rapinoe's U.S. women's, whoever she plays for during the season, if they are cool with her taking a knee and protesting in whatever way, shape, or form she wants to and says go for it, that's her business. Her employer is signing off on it. That is 100% her business. When you put on that red, white, and blue, I am of the belief still, and I get it, we are different generations at times, I believe you represent everybody, and I would love to have that opportunity to represent everybody, including the people I may disagree with.
Yeah, and I love when players, you know, speak their mind. I'm all about say whatever you want to say, but when you're in the heat of competition, especially at the highest level, whether it's the World Cup or the Super Bowl or the finals, try to keep any type of distractions to after it's over.
All right. I made the case in my article, based on it, there should have been a repercussion for Megan Rapinoe at that point, starting a, if you will, a political war. You know what I mean? And did she actually get it? Because I did not notice any results of a pulled hamstring or what she was battling earlier in the week, right, yesterday in the finals. Did she quietly get her reprimand by being forced to sit out the semifinals? Because that's one I've been debating, because I didn't notice a whole lot. Listen, I would think about halfway through that match yesterday, you would have started to see a strain on that hamstring.
Yeah, when I found out she was sitting, that was the first thing I thought about. I said, oh, there must have been a meeting with the coach or someone from the upper-up was like, hey, we're going to sit you this game. You know, we're not going to fine you or anything. Like, because they didn't get paid for that, right?
They get $250,000. And here's the fallacy. This is what I would rather be bitching about today as Megan Rapinoe. What kind of snowball's chance, and you know where, do the men's team in the next quarter of a century have a chance of much less making a World Cup final but winning one?
Is it slim to none?
The farthest since they won, what, 1936 or whatever it was, way back when. Furthest they've ever been in the World Cup was the quarterfinals when we hosted on U.S. soil back in 1994, I believe it was. And they made it to the quarterfinals. That was the year that Andres Escobar had the own goal against his own team in Colombia. And, of course, Pablo Escobar's guys ended up killing him over that. That's life or death threatening right there.
Was that the same game where they shot the ref?
Well, no. It was he had the own goal, and you know, one night out when he got back home, somebody started giving him a hard time about it, and he reacted, and they shot him on the spot, killed him in a parking lot.
Yeah, that's probably.
That's life or death stuff right there, guys. When you got to worry about, you know, being shot.
Jeez.
But $1.1 million is what the men's soccer team would get for winning a World Cup. You want something to gripe about? The women who have done it now four times are getting $250,000. That would be the what I'd like to be angry about in this day and age. You know what I mean? That's not fair. And number two, these women have been doing it consistently over and over again.
And it's sad because soccer is starting to be so big here in the United States. We'd love for the men's team to be dominant, but it's
our best athletes do not play soccer. All right.
Well, exactly. And what I said on Friday also with Coach, I think the difference is with the men and the women, internationally, those women don't have a lot of time to practice like they do over here in the United States because, just to be honest, they don't let them.
That and the fact there's not a huge profitable Euro League. You know what I mean? Number two, the best athletes in most other countries, they want to play football.
Mm-hmm.
Why is football, why is soccer the most popular sport around the world?
It's the most lucrative.
It's not even that. It's the simplest game to play. All you need, no matter where you are in this world, is a couple of stakes for goal lines, a ball, and 18 to 22 players. And guess what? That's all. You don't have to have pads. You don't have to have this. So that's what people grow up around the world playing.
That's a culture sport over there.
Yeah. And so their best athletes go into soccer. Our best athletes go into football.
Football,
basketball.
And basketball.
Even Major League Baseball to a certain extent. So that's why when you look at women's sports outside of what's going on in the WNBA, I would say World Cup soccer is probably about the most lucrative thing that some people can have. Now, we'll see if the Europeans maybe up their game, and I don't mean country-wise, but with a women's pro soccer league over there, that could ultimately hurt what Team USA does.
Hey, maybe somebody needs to start that. That's not a bad idea.
Dude, you got two LLCs now. I tell you what, man. I see a My Sports Culture Women Euro Soccer League.
Not a bad idea, sir.
Yeah, but so my point is, and Diesel, am I fair in this? Because you are younger than me. I'm the fuddy-duddy. But I just would love to believe when you're representing your country, leave the complaints out of it. Am I out of line, or is that just me being old?
Yes and no, Sturge.
Okay.
You got to understand, with these women, they're not marketing soccer to you. They're marketing soccer to young girls. And to young girls, this is an amazing thing. They love
it. Excellent point.
They love this stuff. They love that it is connecting with young women on a on a level of you get to be empowered. You get to have a voice. You know, even though it's so egregious that we're getting a quarter of what the men are getting and we're out there winning World Cups, they still have a much bigger voice in this sport than they do pretty much anywhere else. So you're not wrong, Sturge. You're not wrong in that everybody should treat this country with respect when you're representing it. But at the same time, if you are an advocate of social issues, if that's what you choose to do with your life, is be an advocate of social issues, being told when you can and when you can't be an advocate of your issues is completely backwards.
Well, if you can't, all right, again, at 52 years old now, all right, if you can't represent all of us happily, then maybe turn down the opportunity and let somebody else have it.
This is one of the most fractured cultures in the world. How are you supposed to represent everybody equally when everything is completely fractured?
Yeah, then keep your mouth shut. I guess that's what I'm saying.
But see, that just goes back against the point that I just made. If you are a social advocate, being told to keep your mouth shut is exactly what you've been told all your life. So you're doing the exact opposite of that.
I guess so. But again, we don't want politics in the Olympics. We don't want it in the World Cup either. But guess what? I guess now that we have social media and everybody has a voice that is bigger than what it actually is, because again, I want to celebrate winning a World Cup for a fourth time. I want to celebrate the amazing accomplishments of what this team did together. But now it's about social justice and what took place between one player and the president. And you know, somebody hit me up yesterday going, well, it's his fault he didn't send out a tweet in congratulations of the World Cup title. My feeling is on that, check your facts on that one. It came out right after the game was won.
But you know what? To exactly what Diesel was talking about.
He made some great points. Excellent point.
If you think about it, especially the climate that we have in this culture today, if she didn't say anything, I think she would have got an even bigger backlash from women saying, why didn't you stand up for us?
But what was there to stand up to? She created it. She set the question up. And then answered it. How about she just answers it without saying F no and all this? The whole point was to show up who was in that White House. And I'm not sitting here going waving my pom-pom for what's going on in that White House. But I will maintain, I have seen set up questions before. And some people here in the upstate may know what I'm talking about. And this felt exactly like the same thing. So she created the issue so she could then be held upwards for it. That put her above her team. And that's why I make it. There is no I in team. I'm not saying that she doesn't have the right to do it, but do it for your employer instead of your country.
So it'd been better, more like a – we'll get to that.
Afterwards? How about having it asked afterwards they won the gold medal for the World Cup? You know what I mean? Now what happened? Then go off. But what she did was kind of created 2 weeks of consternation. I know some people that aren't soccer fans that wanted to pull for our country that turned their back on it. And trust me, women's sports, I have a 17-year-old daughter. Women's sports needs all the push we can get.
Oh, I'm big into women's sports.
So I think that while we are talking, it's also created some disservice. We'll take your opinions at 844-GSP-ESPN. Give it to us. We got a lot coming your direction.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So real quickly, Tyler Butler, Adrian Wojnarowski, I'm sure I butchered that name as well, Diesel, so your sound effect. But Adrian tweets out 16 minutes ago, Russell Westbrook welcoming the idea of Oklahoma City searching out a trade that would end his Thunder career and has an interest in Miami. Does Miami have any way to make this work to get Russell Westbrook? Because I want to give you this. This is from our buddy Dan Favalli. This is relevant. You got to be thinking how to mix things in and out with salary caps, whatever. Age 34, Russell Westbrook, and age 33, Jimmy Butler, are scheduled to earn a combined $84.8 million in the 2022 season, 23 season in player options. That's 42. Let me do my math. That's $42.4 million apiece.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If they can't pull it off, it's going to be a way worse situation than what we just got finished talking about. But
you mean the fighting between Russell Westbrook, Oklahoma City, Billy Donovan, and everybody else? I mean, would that be the shootout at the OKC Corral? Man, I mean, because that could get really ugly.
It would be very ugly if they can't get rid of him, because he wants out, from what I heard. Miami, that might be the only destination that can match the salaries. No team really has cap right now.
See, that's what I was going to ask you. He's got a big contract. Now that we've seen free agent, now we're seeing the after money thrown out. One year, $2 million to come join this bench. How many teams got that kind of cap in which they could work with Russell Westbrook 6 weeks, 7 weeks ahead of training camp?
No team really has the salary cap right now, but you can match salaries. So Miami has a couple of people with really bad salaries, like Kelly Olynyk and couple more people that they can shift off in that trade, maybe with a draft pick or two.
Why did Olynyk
OKC take it?
Yeah, why did Olynyk never live up? Did he get hurt at the beginning of his Boston career? Because a lot of people thought that he was going to be a good player coming out of Gonzaga, I believe it was. It just hadn't manifested. Or is he just white men can't jump? Let's be honest about it. You know, unless you play for the U.S. Men's American Volleyball Team, they made a movie called White Men Can't Jump, and I promise you Kelly Olynyk plays like he's got concrete shoes on.
He's not bad. He's a stretch five. It's just once he went to Miami, he wasn't going to play that much over Hassan Whiteside.
Okay.
Probably could get more playing time now that Hassan has been traded to Portland. But, yeah, he's just a stretch five, known for his shooting. Not really a good defensive player, but Miami seemed – Houston said they were interested. I think that would be the dumbest trade. If they did it wouldn't make any sense.
Who would you get? I mean, because you would have to have somebody that you were with.
From what I hear, Paul wouldn't be involved, but I would try my best to trade Chris Paul. But that's the other thing. He's old, and he's old $30, $40 million, so nobody wants that contract.
I maintain what's going to be looked back in a couple of years. You know, Braves fans can be as touchy as any fan base out there right now. Yet here they are on the verge of being a World Series contender, still not having a bullpen. But when we go back in a decade and go, what was the best deal we saw a general manager pull for one sports team? It may be AA Alex Anthopoulos getting both Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies signed basically for the next decade for $162 million roughly in there, when the Philadelphia Phillies just did a 10-year, $330 million deal with one guy, Bryce Harper, and that hadn't even paid off in year number one.
Now, what if the owners are going to take a page out of the NFL book, where NFL, once you get those big contracts, either you can front load it so it won't affect the cap on the back end, or they have the option where you can renegotiate the contract.
Yeah, how many NBA players are going to go from guaranteed money to, whoa.
Follows the owners, though.
Every time I look at an NFL contract, I don't look at a 4-year, $162 million. I look at the guaranteed money, and that's all they're ever going to see.
That's all that matters.
Out of that contract. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. Bring it to us straight up, because I got a question. First of all, when we come back, we'll give you an update on Clemson basketball. Also, right now, known as Team USA. We'll give you an update on them, plus some more NBA. In the final hour, we got Major League Baseball and a whole lot more. All right, welcome back in. We can let you know the U.S. women's soccer team just landed at Newark, airport. The probably one Newport, one airport that I wouldn't want to arrive back at into the United States. If you don't know, that has been like the number one crappiest airport on every list in the last decade. So, but they did have the fire trucks out there. They got to their plane got to come in underneath a really cool Arc de Triomphe. Since they won in France, you know what I mean? But that's an arc, and it's triumphant. And anyway, all right, talking about some NBA stuff, and we're going to talk Major League Baseball, including how to fix the home run derby. You can hear that at 8 o'clock tonight here on ESPN Upstate. But the fake ESPN just tweets, and it's awesome. Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they got his big, thick red glove. Who's that, Donatello? You probably are.
Raphael.
Okay, Raphael. That's pretty good. But, you know, is it good that we have new teams to go look at? We have these six duos that came out, and I asked Delvin this earlier, and I want to ask you the same thing. Who's better off moving forward? I'll give you four options, and you can, if there's somebody else, and this is based off of what we just went through. These are the duos, the main three duos that I see formed this season. LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. KD and Kyrie with the Brooklyn Nets. Kawhi and Paul George with the LA Clippers. Or I'll throw in a wild card. Zion and the New Orleans Pelicans, or you can throw in a different one. Which of these duos is best suited moving forward of the that was created here in this offseason due to free agency?
On paper, it looks like LeBron and AD, but I think it's the Clippers.
I do too.
They have the two best two-way players in the NBA with Kawhi and PG-13. Excellent pick.
Can the Lakers be – they announced earlier today they will be playing LeBron James as a point guard next year. Can that last all year long when you're going to be seeing a multitude of different I could just see point guards trying to run him around crazy and get those legs. And my point being, between Anthony Davis and LeBron James last year, they sat out roughly 27% of the games that their teams played.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're just giving him the title. He's basically been a point guard his entire career.
Okay.
He always brings the ball up to the court, or he initiates the offense from the top of the key, which is what the point guard does. So he just got a title. Going to be playing the exact same way.
All right, so who do you think's better? KD and Kyrie? No, number one, you don't see KD until maybe into the playoffs, if at all, next season.
No, you're not going to see him next year.
All right, Kyrie is, to me, much like what I said about Russell Westbrook. People say that are more in the know than me, they're kind of similar. They're more about themselves and making their teammates better. So I don't think that's it. Number two, how well does Kevin Durant come back from an Achilles injury? Dude, that's why it's called Achilles. You know what I mean? Also, I mentioned LeBron and AD health. Who's happy? Who's not? That's why I'll go with Kawhi and Paul George. But what do you think about Zion now being – first of all, Diesel hit the nail on the head earlier. You don't play him again until training camp. But he's bruised a knee in game number one of the summer league. So the Pelicans announced they're going to hold him out till training camp. The biggest losers of the weekends were the ones that paid way too much money of game number two of the New Orleans Pelicans in the summer league.
I don't know who would pay $400 for a summer league ticket, but – you know, I got killed a lot from my criticism on Zion. I'm not as high as everyone else is for my reasons. I just think he has a lot of work to do with his jump shot. It's very flat. He doesn't jump at all with it. And he doesn't create his own shot. It's all power.
Well,
and if you watch the summer league game, all his points came off of dunks.
And they were – and listen, people, there is a Zion effect, no doubt about it. Summer League games being sold out. But that was just a man versus child play when he rips the ball out of one. And first of all, in my opinion, it should have been a foul. But he rips it out and then goes down, does the hammer dunk, and they all go crazy. The one that I've been hearing the most angst about is R.J. Barrett and his lack of abilities or his lack of a game, because they said that he'd been worried about pushing his image as a five-star player, one and done, versus as much working on his actual game.
Well, it's showing so far in some leagues. He's like 9 for 33 shooting. It's horrendous. Maybe it'll come around by the end of the camp, but right now it's not looking too great.
All right, let's get Rick in before we get to the top of the hour. Rick, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
I'm having a great afternoon. Just one thing, Sturge, explain to me. All contracts in baseball are guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
All contracts in basketball are guaranteed.
Correct.
All contracts in football aren't guaranteed.
Yep.
Why don't they fight that when the NFLPA comes up? Why don't they fight? I mean, why would they? I mean, I'm crazy. I played high school football and college football and never made it to the pros. I wouldn't stand for that, Sturge. How do they get by with that?
All right, we'll give you a thank you for the phone call, Rick. Tyler, you said not all contracts guaranteed. Number one, I think it shows who controls the league. In the NFL, the owners control the league. I think the ownership of the NFL, or do we call them board of governors? I don't know. I got to get the rule book
it's
in right now.
In the NFL.
All right, so the owners in the NFL have the leverage. All right, number two, you got 53-man roster, and then your practice squad at five. Mm-hmm. So you got to spread that money a whole lot more directions. Number three, football's a very physical game that something could happen that could end your career lot quicker. So you don't want to be tied down on contracts that you got to pay out. And most of the time the NFL's really cool about is so-and-so's done in their career, we're going to exempt that money from the salary cap minus $2 million. But I just think it goes to show you who controls their league. You know what I mean? And it's the owners. And I think they have the foresight to go, these guys don't have enough guts in an election year to go out on strike. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and that's it, man. The owners would never go for that. I'm sure the players would want it because they envy some of these NBA players' contracts.
Dude, you know those guys in the NBA are telling their friends from the college campus, we got this better than
but
you, dude.
Why would I pay you $140 million where your career could be over by week two?
Yeah, I just think, number two,
It's
with
tough.
There that many people involved on a roster,
you got to spread it around.
You,
you can't be that guy.
Yes. You can't be that guy. And, I'd love to know. Maybe I'll go home and do the math. 41 times 16.5. Most arenas are back in the 16 to 18,000. 41 home NBA games versus 8 home games, or you can say 10 if you count the preseason.
Right.
Which one would bring more money and tickets? Because that's good. But where the NFL has everybody else is in sponsorship dollars.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I think that's it. I don't think the owners would ever go for all guaranteed contract. Because they would be losing more out on the back end.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was a little bit surprised Brooklyn went all in, knowing that they don't get Kevin Durant for another year. And who knows how mad he may be at the media in New York if he's spotted having an ice cream cone in Central Park and called out for it. Who knows what may happen. But we know we're coming back for hour number three. It's National Chocolate Day.
Is it?
Yeah, maybe we'll get you a slice of bourbon pecan chocolate pie here at Smoke on the Water.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.